And Samsa replied, I don't care whether she is saved or not. She is hot. She's all that. Samsa had a weakness for sweetness.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In Pastor Brian Grant's message last week, we heard how the parents of Samson, one of Israel's judges, were given by God an exacting prescription for the child's life. Samson, however, did most everything just the opposite. Samson's failure to follow the divine prescription resulted in the loss of his freedom, his vision, and even his life. But listen with us now as Pastor Grant brings the rest of the story, a story of overcoming grace. Here again is Pastor Grant.
Samson didn't care what God had to say. He figured he was the strongest man on earth. He could do whatever he wanted to do and get away with it. What was he smoking? Samson ended up falling to three of the devil's main traps. And so I don't want you to miss this now. Here are three of the devil's main traps. You ready to write? Write this first one down. The lust of the flesh. Three lusts we must all guard against. The first one is the lust of the flesh. Put that scripture back up for me, please. In Judges chapter 14. I mean, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, I'm sorry. Hopefully we can read this together. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. Can you read it with me? We're in the same version. What does it say? Do not love the world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. Stop. That is some strong stuff. If you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. Let's continue. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but from the world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Amen. Amen. So did you write down the lust of the flesh already? Right beside the lust of the flesh, a craving for physical pleasure. A craving for physical pleasure. A craving for everything we see. In Judges 14:5, we find Samson in the vineyards. What do they produce in a vineyard? You can talk to me. It's grapes, but you know what they're up to? They're making wine. What was one of the things that Samson was forbidden from doing? Drinking wine. Samson was playing with fire. Have you ever played with fire? David played with fire. He was looking through the window. He saw something or somebody. Watch out now. You know, it's not the first look. You know, it's not the first look because sometimes you can't help to see what you saw. It's the second look. Let's not see how far we can go before we fall off the cliff. Samson was among the vineyards when a lion came roaring at him. And instead of taking this as God's warning, he decided it was time to kill. Okay? So he tore the lion apart. Later on in verse 8, he went back to the spot. And when he came to the lion, there was a swarm of bees in the carcass of the lion. And that was fresh. There was some fresh, delightful honey. Boy, I tell you, we were on the road rally, the church's road rally. And we passed this little place. And they were selling fresh honey. They had just done it themselves. We got some of that honey. Best honey I ever had. Fresh, delightful honey. Was it okay for Samson to eat it? No. Guess why? He had to take it out of the carcass of the lion. And one of the things he was forbidden from doing was to touch dead things. So he might have been trying to, you know, sometimes, I don't know why this popped into my mind, but I know how devious we all are. He might have said, you know what, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to get as much of the honey as I can. But I'm going to make sure there's a little layer so I don't touch it. I wonder if he tried that game. Have you ever tried that game? Lord, you ever tried the game of coming as close to the edge as you can, hoping you won't fall off? The lust of the flesh. Samson, as a Nazarite to God, listen, God had such an incredible plan for Samson's life, and Samson totally messed up. He gave in to the lust of the flesh. You know, one of our favorite amusement parks is Busch Gardens in Virginia. And the most exciting ride years ago, because I'm not up to date, but years ago, one of the most exciting rides was the Big Bad Wolf. Anybody ever went to the Big Bad Wolf? You know, I used to stay away from the wolf because I was afraid of being eaten by that wolf. But one day I decided to ride the 110-foot high wolf, traveling at a speed of over 50 miles an hour, up and down, up and down. And all I can tell you is I'm happy I'm here today. Because I thought I was going to die on that wolf. Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. But listen, the devil did not put me on that roller coaster. I did. And if you are a Christian, it's time to stop blaming the devil for your sin. For I had many opportunities to get off. Not to get off once it started. But while I was in the line and waiting for them hour to get on, I could have gotten on, off. In fact, even when I entered the turnstile, I still could have gotten off. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, don't say the devil made you do it. When you sin, it's not because the devil made you do it. It's because you disobeyed God and did not stop. You gave in to the lust of the flesh. I know that we can avoid it because 1 Corinthians 10:13, God promises he will always give us a way of escape when we face temptation. So when we face temptation, look for God's exit. Amen. Look for God's exit. There is a way of escape. 2 Timothy 2:22 tells us, flee from youthful passions and pursue righteousness. And teenagers and young adults and old folks like me, my God, help us not to fall for the devil's trap. We want to pursue God's perfect plan for our lives. And one of the big killers is the lust of the flesh. But secondly, the second lust mentioned in 1 John 2:16 that we read on the screen, the lust of, listen, the eyes, the lust of the eyes. What is that? The lust of the eyes is a craving for things we see. Samson craved what he saw. For Delilah seems to have been very hot. Do you see what it says here? Verse 2 and 3. All you hear, verse 2, Samson says to his father, get her for me. Verse 3, his father said, is there no other woman among the daughters of your brethren? No other Hebrew woman? He says to his father, get her for me. I like what I see. She pleases me well. I don't care what God says. She pleases me well. Samson craved what he saw. Here's a Brian Grant paraphrase. His dad said, Samson, she's unsaved. And Samson replied, I don't care whether she is saved or not. She is hot. She's all that. Samson had a weakness for sweetness. Not the honey. Well, the honey too, yes. Young people and old folks like that. Are we going to do it God's way? Or are we going to continue the path and allow the devil to allow us to fall into the devil's trap? One of the biggest things on the devil's list is the lust of the flesh. The second thing is the lust of the eye. And God is challenging us this morning. Do it my way. I have a big plan, a special plan. Don't blow it. And just because she's saved don't mean a thing. Or he saved. Brother Grant, he saved. You know, he saved. You ever read his Bible? Have you owned the Bible? I don't know. Does he pray? I don't know. But he said he prayed a prayer to. Praying to receive Christ the Savior is a nice start, but if it's real, we will see some evidence. Amen. If somebody prayed and the prayer was for real, we ought to see some life. Because once you become a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you have new life. And if you have new life, we ought to see some change. So if you ain't seen no change, some of you right now in some relationship and you ain't seen no change, and God is telling you this morning, it's time to put on your running shoes. Amen. It's time to run. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Write this one, the third one, the pride of life. The pride of life. Write this one. The pride of life is pride in our achievements and possessions. Samson was so proud of his conquest. Killing the lion. The next time he was nearby, he took a detour to see what had happened to his big kill. Samson had become a superhero, for he had killed a lion with his bare hands. The pride of life is so subtle. Some people take pride in talking about their humility. And sometimes, you know, I sat and listened to people bragging about their humility. And I'm saying, what if they realize this is not the best thing to be bragging about? Bragging about my humility is an odd thing to brag about, okay? You know, it's like the Sunday school teacher who, after teaching the story of the Pharisee and the publican, you remember the Pharisee and the publican? Where the Pharisee looked over the publican and he said, God, I thank you, I'm not like them. So the Sunday school teacher, she just finished teaching the story, and she said to the children, children, let's bow our heads and thank God we are not like the Pharisee. Be very careful when your head starts swelling because of your accomplishments. Sometimes, if you find yourself in conversation, and it's all about you and what you have done and what you have accomplished, pull back. Because you have started moving towards the pride of life. Pull back. Don't let it be all about you and what you have done. For every blessing we enjoy is because of the blessing and favor of God. Please never forget that. Every blessing, there is not one blessing. Even if you're not saved, there is not one good thing that has happened to you that is not because of the favor of God. So let make sure that all the praise goes to Jesus. What have we said so far? First, we have said life's greatest pursuit includes pursuing God's perfect plan for our lives. Second, we have said life's greatest pursuit includes a determination to pursue a separated life. And here's the third and final thing I want to bring to your attention today. Life's greatest pursuit includes a determination to pursue freedom in Christ. A determination to pursue freedom in Christ. I have discovered, and you have too, there are many people living in spiritual bondage. So write this. Write this down. We must not get comfortable in spiritual bondage. Look at what Judges 13, just reflect back on Judges 13:1. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistine for 40 years. This was the longest period that Israel was in oppression during the entire period of the Judges. 210-year period of the Judges. This was the longest time. But listen, there is no evidence that Israel ever cried to God. Can you imagine that? This is God's earthly people. And there is no evidence that Israel ever cried to God. In fact, flip over to Judges 15 and just let's read a verse there, for a few verses there. Judges 15, verse 9. It says there, now the Philistines went up and camped in Judah and deployed themselves against Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why have you come up against us? So the Philistines, Judah, of course, is Israel. And so the Philistines have gone up there, and they said, why have you come up thus? So they answered, we have come up to arrest Samson. We do to him as he has done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah, so the Philistines have come, 3,000 of the Israelites, they went down to the cleft of the rock of Etam and said to Samson, do you not know that the Philistines rule over us? What is it you have done to us? And he said to them, as they did to me, so I have done to them. But they said to him, we have come down to arrest you, that we may deliver you into the hand of the Philistines. Does this make any sense? You are in bondage to the Philistines. You are the people of God. God has sent Samson to begin delivering you. And here you are. You are sending 3,000 soldiers to capture Samson so you can remain in bondage. Please don't miss that. 3,000 soldiers. Verse 13. So then Samson said to him, swear to me that you will not kill me. So they spoke to him, saying, no, but we will tie you up securely and deliver you into their hand. But we won't kill you. We're going to make them kill you. Israel was so comfortable in bondage, they arrested Samson rather than helping him overthrow the Philistines. Israel did not want Samson to rock the boat. So write this down. It's frightening but true. We can get so accustomed to bondage, we learn to accept it as the way of life. I wish we had more time, because I honestly believe this is happening in our society so big time. There are so many people who are accepting bondage as a way of life. They are accepting a life of addiction as a way of life. They are accepting, although they are able-bodied, they are accepting living on welfare as a way of life. We are accepting bondage as a way of life. But there is deliverance in Jesus, amen. My friend, I'm come to tell you this morning, there is deliverance in Jesus. Whether you need emotional freedom, you know, because you have been badly damaged, and there are a lot of people who need emotional freedom. Some need freedom from drugs and alcohol. Some need freedom from sex addictions and all sorts of other addictions. But I want you to know today, Jesus offers you freedom. For John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 36 tells us, who the Son sets free is what? Is free indeed. Amen. And as Jesus began his public ministry, he declared in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. It's just amazing how Jesus starts his public ministry. He says, he has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released. He says, I've come to proclaim that the blind would see. I'm come to proclaim that the oppressed will be set free. I am come to proclaim the time of the Lord's favor has come. My friend, it doesn't matter who you are or how bound you are, you can find freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he went to the cross of Calvary and he died for your sin and my sin. Hallelujah. And the third day he rose triumphantly from the grave, and all power is given to his hands. All power in heaven and in earth is in the Lord's hands. And today he offers you freedom. Freedom from your sin. Freedom from bondage. Freedom to pursue the plan of God. Freedom to enjoy the greatest pursuit of life. And right now, as we come to a close, would you come to this Savior? Would you come to this Lord, the one who loves you and loves me and who died for us and offers us everything? We can find it in Jesus if we will make a total surrender. Let's get rid of the word commitment. I'll probably still use it in some message. But right now, God is calling us to surrender. The song says, I surrender all. Is that what you're willing to do? You're not a Christian. Are you willing to surrender everything to him? You are a Christian. Will you surrender all to Jesus? All to thee, the song says, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.